Should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the seventh chapter, it is said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically free. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasya sankalpapati kulyasya vajanam prakshishahidhi vishvasa vokritve varanam tatham According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, all his activities are in vain. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to them. One should only think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service of the Lord and full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes free from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted to the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted to the super soul feature, etc. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists. But one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, Mashujaha, do not fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Ajana Vandito Jaukana Kavadaita Sankirtana Ikudaro Kamalantakshi Ishvambaro Vijavaro Yugadharma Pau Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vajana Nanta Pradishya Mama Vachima Mantra Sutra Sanjeeva Yadikiva Shakti Daraksvadam Amyam Shahasta Charana Shravana Pragadi Pranam Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I was wondering why
Sri Prabhupada asked me to speak on this topic. Yes, he feels that we have a special experience in Russia, surrendering to the inconceivable mercy of the Lord. Sometimes it seems so, but ultimately this process of surrender is the universal process, and the better we understand what it means, what it implies, the better it is for us. Srila Jiva Goswami, and I mostly base my presentation on this section in Bhaktisiddhanta where he explains what surrender means, emphatically says that surrender can immediately bring you all the perfections in life. He says in this section of Bhaktisiddhanta that you don't need to do anything else but surrender. All the series, all the perfections, including the main perfection which all the people in this material world are looking for, the perfections of being saved from the miseries of this life, are included into this process of surrender. And as such, this is the most powerful process, the most powerful tool. We have to know exactly how to use this tool to achieve everything we need. At the same time, Srila Jiva Goswami also says that if you don't surrender 100%, and who does? He says, then you will get the perfection, but according to the degree of your surrender. So surrender is the deciding factor in our achieving the results of devotional service. Sometimes we wonder, we are performing sadhana bhakti and devotional service for so long, but somehow or other the promised results are not. So the key to understand this is this statement by Srila Jiva Goswami, where he says that you can only get the results of your practices to the extent of your surrender. To the extent of this inner bhava of surrender. The results can be very quick. They don't depend on time. They don't depend on the, even amount of our practices. They basically depend on this very intimate and internal state of our consciousness in which we perform all devotional activities. Devotional activities, no matter how devotional they are, no matter how they are, externally devotional, how they are related to this Krishna, can be in vain. As Prabhupada says, any process which does not ultimately bring you to this surrender, which he creates in the purport as Krishna consciousness, will be vain, will be basically waste of time. So that's why this particular topic is important. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his introductory song to Sharanagati, to this beautiful book of songs. He says that Lord Chaitanya will hear the prayers which are invited to surrender. And he will not hear otherwise. The prayers which are not penetrated with the spirit of surrender. The prayers which are not connected with this complete spirit of self-abnegation and self-surrender will not be heard by Lord Chaitanya. Srila Jiva Goswami in his
Bhaktisiddhanta again says that sometimes one prays to the Lord.
And he says in the prayers are vyalika. Vyalika means cheating. If there is no sincerity in these prayers, then he says that it will not be heard by the Lord as much as the clouds of our cheating mentalities can kind of block us from the Lord. In the same way, you know, when the rays of the sun are filtered through the clouds, they lose the power. They lose the potency. And you are directly, you know, even in England, if you get for a change direct rays of sun, which is not blocked by the clouds, and you feel warm, you know. Maybe a little chilly, but the direct rays of the sun, they have this power. It's called in Sanskrit timra. They are, you know, they can be biting. But, you know, the same sun in the same England, and it's blocked, then the same sun loses its power. Power is dissipated. In the same way, the prayer may be very powerful. It can reach directly to the Lord, and it can bring miraculous effects in our lives. But when it's blocked by our lack of surrender, which is compared with the clouds, then it loses its power. It loses its power to attract the attention of the Lord. Therefore, better we understand what surrender implies and what it means. And of course, you know, it's not a question of intellectual understanding, but intellectual understanding may help to a certain extent to get a clear picture of what it means by surrender. So I wanted to start this little presentation with two stories. Two beautiful stories. One story I recently told to Sri Dharma was the story of Parashalabhata. This is a story of Parashalabhata was the successor of Ramanujacharya, and he was the son of Kuresh. And of course, Kuresh is the glorious example of complete surrender. Ramanujacharya had a very intimate relationship with Parashalabhata. And the story goes like this, that once Parashalabhata was going through the forest, and he had a few associates with him, and he met a hunter, completely rude and brutal person, hunter, who was killing animals. And this hunter was in somewhat perplexed state of mind. He was somewhat agitated, and you know, and he started seeing a sadhu. He started pouring out what was there in his heart, and something really shocked him. And he said, "What happened with me today? I caught a rabbit in my trap. And I was very happy, because the rabbits are my food. And I wanted to kill this rabbit. And this rabbit, when I let him a little loose, he was still this rabbit started circling around my feet, circling. And ultimately, he came very close to the field and put his head on my feet and completely surrendered. And in this moment, my heart melted. And I thought, I can't kill this rabbit. I have to let him free. And I let him free, and I can't figure out why did I do this. he was totally shocked by this incident or his thing. And when Parashar Bhat heard this story, he fainted. You know, all the ecstatic symptoms appeared in his body, and you know, hair stood on end, tears into his eyes, and he absolutely fainted. And then he came back to his senses. His associates asked him, "Why did you faint? What happened with you when you heard this stupid story?" Simple story. And Parashar Bhat said, you know, this rabbi never read Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. He didn't study scriptures. And still, out of natural instinct, he surrendered. And this stupid, cruel hunter, he never promised that he would deliver anyone who will surrender unto him. But still, he did it out of natural instinct, because he couldn't do otherwise. He just couldn't do it. And he said, "How fortunate we are. We read Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna directly says in Providence. And Krishna says that Kaunte Pratijani Name Bhakta Pranashyati. You just declare it boldly that if somebody surrendered unto me, if somebody has become my bhakti, he will never perish in this world." And here he says in this verse, famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, "If somebody surrenders unto me, I will protect him." And he says, "How fortunate we are, we know about this. And we are human beings, so we have developed brain by which we can surrender." And he said, "And how unfortunate we are. Because despite of knowing this, we still don't surrender. We still don't have the trust and belief that we don't do enough, you know, to show the world that we really surrender." So this is a very beautiful story which proves that this process of surrender is very natural. And it's ultimately a very natural process for those who feel one's dependence on the Lord. If this feeling of dependence on the Lord is there, then the process of surrender, like in the case of this rabbit, you know, this rabbit, somehow he felt this is the best way to do in this difficult situation, just to surrender at the feet of this hunter. And of course, the next story which shows the power of this surrender, of the process of surrender, and how surrender ultimately brings about the mercy of the Lord, is again the story of an animal, of the dog of Sivananda Sen. We all know the story described in the interview of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When the dog just street dog, completely homeless dog, saw the devotees who went to Puri, the group of devotees on Yatra, walking from Navadvip to Puri, and Shivananda Sen was in charge. And you know, it's usual for the dogs. Dogs are actually quite intelligent people, much more intelligent than the rest of the people. So they're looking for somebody, for a master. There is one advantage of being a dog. You know, you don't have too much pride. You know, especially street dogs, especially in India, they're quite humble creatures. You know. Of course, dogs in the West are different. They're quite proud. That's the difference between India and the West. When they walk, they feel a big ego. So, and this is again very natural. The dogs, they looking for a master, and this dog and the other is this devotee, and Sivananda Sen. And Sivananda Sen, when he, you know, when he saw that this dog is completely, totally surrendered in the sense that he follows all the rules, he follows them, he just doesn't want to leave them, you know, his heart melted. Again, in a very natural way, very spontaneously. You know, if somebody takes shelter of you, if somebody just follows you, you kind of feel like, you know, like protecting you. I remember, you know, some time ago I was in Vrindavan, and every day I used to go around Vrindavan to do the parikrama. And in the same way, there was a special dog living in Krishna Balaram Mandir, who would, you know, whoever would go around Vrindavan, he would go with him. And this dog was, probably he was Prabhupada's disciple. Oh, I don't know. But at least he was there all the time at the entrance of Krishna Balaram Mandir, and when he would see somebody and heading towards the parikram road, he would follow him very diligently. And this dog, you know, it's amazing also. Every day he would do it. With everyone, you know. No matter how many times he would circumambulate in the Sri Sri Radha Bhagavana Vigita, Sri Sri Radha Bhagavana Vigita. He would go with them. And in certain sections of Vrindavan, there were some other dogs who were very possessive. You know, this is how they start, you know, biting this dog and, you know, barking at it. You know, but he was still following. I had to circumambulate Vrindavan. And it was very touching to the heart. And you see that somebody is just, no matter what, whatever impediments are there, whatever difficulties are there, if somebody is still following and following you, you know, you feel like protecting him. You know? So the first day we went there, and this other dogs attacked this dog. So next time when I went to the round and down, I took a stick to protect my dog from these other dogs. because again, it's a very natural and spontaneous kind of thing, which you feel like doing, you know, if somebody, if you feel that somebody is random. And in the same way, Sivananda Sen, in this particular story of Chaitanya Chaitanya, he felt very protective of this dog. He would cook a special vegetarian prasadam for this dog and take care of him. And you know what happened? Because of this mercy of Sivananda Sen to this poor creature, he got the mercy of the Lord. So this is basically, there are two ways of surrender which are there. You can surrender directly to the Lord. Because Krishna himself says that surrender unto me. And Prabhupada explains the connection of this Google with other. This is one way of surrendering to the Lord. You surrender directly unto me. He demands it, he wants it, and we know this is to the best of our interest, and somehow or other we do it. And it may be difficult because we don't have the direct connection, or we don't feel the direct connection with the Lord. So the other way of surrendering unto the Lord is to surrender to a devotee. And if you surrender to somebody who is surrendered, if you surrender to a devotee of the Lord completely, then the effect is absolutely the same. Oh Lord, there's no difference. Like in this story, because this dog was surrendered to Sivananda Sen, you know, all the devotees saw this amazing scene when Lord Chaitanya would give the pulp of the coconut dog. And by eating his mother, suddenly he was giving to the dog. And the dog was, you know, and not only this, Lord Chaitanya directly told this dog, was saying to this dog, you know, you chant, Hare Krishna, Govinda, chant, chant, chant. And the dog was very intelligent. The dog, it's amazing how intelligent the dog was due to the association with the devotees. Lord Chaitanya would tell them, chant, Hare Krishna, Govinda, and the dog would only chant, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. He knew the Siddhanta, he knew the Tattva. The amazing display of the mercy of the Lord. Because normally dogs don't say Krishna. Their tongue is not really, made to do some audible sound. They can only say, but the dog was saying, Krishna, Krishna. And that basically means mercy. The holy name, it is said, when this inclination to serve comes, then the holy name comes to our tongue on its own accord. So basically this is the illustration how the mercy, the visible mercy of the Lord came upon the dog. And the dog became a devotee. He was chanting 16 rounds of the Krishna mantra and eating of the Mahaprasada. And the next day he disappeared. And everyone knew that he has gone, that he is there with the Lord. By this process of surrender, and that's again the illustration of this point, when the surrender is complete, when there is a complete surrender, you reach all the perfection. The perfect destination and the perfect result is there with you, and there is no doubt about it. So, let's try to go a little deeper into this dimension of surrender. What does it mean complete surrender and what does it mean non-complete surrender? If you look at Bhagavad Gita, basically this message of surrender, Prabhupada says that this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The essential message of Bhagavad Gita, he says this in this work, but the essential message of Bhagavad Gita is just abandon everything else and surrender to Krishna. And don't worry. Srila Prabhupada says that if you worry how you can abandon everything, this is useless. That's the end of his book. He says, if you still have some worry, it means that something is wrong with you. We will hear how Jiva Goswami analyzes this surrender, but let's first talk about Bhagavad Gita. We can see that the surrender is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita and the end of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita only starts when Arjuna surrenders himself completely. That's one of the verses which you can legitimately say that this is the beginning, the start of Bhagavad Gita, is this verse of Karpani Dosha Mahadasa Bhava, the chant from the Masamundi Chedda. When Arjuna says, enough is enough. I'm completely bewildered. I'm completely perplexed. I don't know what is good for me, what is not good for me, and therefore, Shishyastiham Shandhimam Vam Prapanam, I'm Prapanna. I'm completely surrendered unto you. Just tell me what to do. Tell me in a very definite terms, what am I supposed to do? And this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the beginning of surrender process. But we can see very clearly in this particular example, even though Arjuna says in the beginning, I've surrendered the soul, tell me what to do. In the very next verse he says, not the next verse, after a couple of verses he says, Nayotsya iti govinda. You know, I've surrendered soul, tell me what to do, but I'm not going to fight. That's a very, you know, very typical. That's quite a typical beginning of surrender. The surrender only up to this extent. I will do this and I will do this, but this I will never do. Please don't ask me for this. I am not surrendered to that extent. So, in one sense, it's a very encouraging news for us. Because we have to start somewhere, and even if we start in this kind of, artificial or not artificial, but even if we start with just saying that I surrender, it's something. The Lord takes it seriously and He starts working on us. It's a good beginning. If you tell the Lord that you are surrendered, even though He knows perfectly well that the reality of your heart is different, that you are not completely surrendered, He still takes it seriously and He starts His, you know, He takes you through the, to make sure that the process of surrender is complete. He will take care of this surrendering process. Because He basically is caring about you. So this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and we know that at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeats basically the same message. He says, Sarvadham Karitejam Amakam Saranam Raja. And this is what He wants to say, because there is no question of bhakti without surrender. Srila Jiva Goswami starts this explaining Sharanagati, what Sharanagati means. He starts, he actually says that the surrender is the foundation. That the bhakti starts from surrender, and if you are not surrendered, even to a certain extent, there is no question of bhakti. Because bhakti implies service. The very word bhakti comes from the verbal root vaj, which means the active service. Service. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains, you know, when he starts explaining the different sadhanas which one should do in bhakti, he first explains that bhakti, in reality bhakti, means nirguna bhakti. First we have to understand why surrender is the foundation. Why we cannot do anything in bhakti unless there is at least certain extent of surrender. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains in the previous sections of Bhakti Sandarbha that bhakti only becomes bhakti when it's not motivated, when it's nirguna. The subtle bhakti, or bhakti in the mode of tamas, in the mode of rajas, or in the mode of sattva, is not truly bhakti. You know, there is no service there because you want something. If you perform a so-called devotional service and it's connected with the motivations belonging or pertaining to different modes of material nature, tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun. And this is explained by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, basically, you're not serving. It's not a service. It has nothing to do with the service. You may call it service, but it's really not the service. And Prahlad Maharaj is very apt in saying that, you know, if you want to give me some reward for my service, you basically don't consider me as a servant. Because the very notion, the very concept of reward means that this is not the service. I'm doing it and this is the payment. It's the salary. It's not the service. Service means I'm doing it without any expectation. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains this before explaining Sharanagati. And this is a very important thing to understand. Why bhakti can only start with Sharanagati? Because without Sharanagati, there cannot be any service without any expectation of reward. You know, we can serve, there is quote-unquote serve here, expecting some reward, but this is not service, it's just, you know, I'm just more or less selling myself. Here I am, I can serve you if you want, if you need my service, here it is. But I need this and this and this from you. So this is a business deal. And the business deal is a separate kind of, you know, transaction. If you want to enter into this transaction with the Lord, that's fine. But please don't call it bhakti. Bhakti only starts when you come to the Lord and you more or less come to the Lord with this understanding that I'm your servant by definition, by nature. The service to you is something which I cannot avoid doing. This is my nature, and from this point, basically, real bhakti starts. So, Krishna gives so much stress to surrender, and the whole Bhagavad Gita is this, because ultimately he wants to give us the essential message of all the scriptures. Prabhupada explains here that ultimately all the scriptures, all the Vedas, with all different things, they culminate in this understanding that I am the servant of God. If there is not this culmination, if this culmination by any chance is not there, this is again waste of time. So, and therefore, we have to really clearly understand that this, the surrender is the message of Bhagavad Gita, from beginning to end. And the surrender is the preliminary condition for us to be engaged in devotional service without any expectations. And ultimately, the natural conclusion of surrender is that, okay, I surrender. Ultimately, you know, when we translate das as a servant, it's not a very accurate translation. Because in reality, dasa means slave. So when we get, you know, initiations, and we take a very honorable title, now I'm a slave. In the Western, in the Western kind of culture, phew, it's the most horrible thing which may happen to you. You become a slave. But that's exactly what surrender means. I relinquish my independence, my independent ego. I don't belong to myself. And basically, devotional service is a slavery. It's not the service. Not the service in the modern understanding of this world. Because who is slave? Slave is somebody who doesn't expect any particular reward, right? You know, the master can give him something, he may not give anything. He may give him some clothes. He may not give any clothes. You know, he's a slave. He doesn't have any independence. So the slaves, they work not because they get something. They work because this is their relationship. Because this is their position. The difference between the material slavery and spiritual slavery is that spiritual slavery or emotional service is completely volunteer. It's my conscious act of surrendering my independence. But the nature is the same. Basically, nature is that I am not independent anymore, and it means that there is no reward. I am not expecting any reward. And this, the most degraded situation, which is there in the material world, of a slave, to be the slave in the material world, is the most despicable condition of life. Becomes the most glorious position in the spiritual world. According to the law of reflection, you know, and if somebody is reflected, if something is reflected, then, you know, the highest point in the object becomes the lowest point in the reflection. So according to the law of reflection, something which is the highest position in the spiritual world, complete, total surrender. And this total surrender is basically manifest by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Their degree of surrender is unbelievable, but we'll come to this. In the material world, it becomes the lowest point, the point of complete, total, degradation of humanity. But we have to understand that ultimately that's what it is. We are voluntarily relinquishing our free will and surrendering to the Lord, understanding that this is what we are supposed to do, that this is nature, this is our nature. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami explains, he starts explaining this process of Sharanagati by saying that there can be two causes of surrender. Basically, there could be theoretically two motivations or two causes of surrender. One is fear. One is this understanding that I am totally, completely lost in this world. I am perplexed. Like Arjuna says, "Karpanya dosha bhara svabhav pichhari panga masam upacheta." You know, I don't know what to do. The difficulties of life are too much for me. And the first motivation is that I'm fed up. I'm sick and tired. I'm completely, totally, it's enough is enough for me. You know, this karma is too much, and krodha is too much. You know, all these things, you know, I'm trying to do something in this material world, but I cannot do anything because I'm always overwhelmed by all these problems. This prayer of surrender, which shows this is impetus to surrender, is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. It's from the from Padyavali of Srila Rupa Goswami. Kamadina katina katina malita durmidesha Tesham jata mahena karuna natrapa na pasanti Usri jaita manha yadu pate Sampraptam labdha udhis Vam mayatak saranam abhayam Mam niyukshvat madasya. So this is the illustration which shows, this verse shows this impetus to surrender. And the devotee says in this pitiable. In this verse, which, you know, he explains his pitiable condition. Kamalina katina katina palida durmi desam desam jata maina karun na tapat na pasmati. I have been a slave of my lust. And not only lust, of my anger, of my greed, of my illusion, of my pride, of my envy. I have been enslaved by these tendencies. And I've been trying to satisfy my masters. We have all these masters, you know. Kama is our master, and we are his obedient servant. That's all. I'm your servant. And anger and the greed and all these things, you know, they're trying. And he says that despite of all my attempts to serve these masters, they're neither satisfied nor become little more moderate in their demands. No trapa, they are shameless, these masters. I surrender to them. I am doing something for them. I am trying to fulfill the desires of these cruel masters which are there in this material world, you know, pushing me around. But they become more and more shameless. And they are pushing me to do more and more abominable things in this world. This is the condition which ultimately brings us to this extent of surrender. Kamadina katina katina balita dhuni desham desham jatma yana rumana kratma kratma. Utsi jaitam adha yadupate mam niyupra. Utsi jaitam adha yadupate labdha udhis. You know, but now adha, when I caught little sense, when I get little buddhi, little intelligence, when the intelligence somehow rather dawned on me, came to me after so long, I understand that I have to give it up and take somebody else as my master. Not these forces which are pushing me around and having no mercy on me. I have to take Yadupati, the Lord of the Yadus, as my master. And Tvam Ayada Saranamabhayam Mamdi Yukshvat Madasi. Oh, my Lord, give me the shelter which will make me completely fearless. I'm your servant now, I'm your conscious servant, and please give me your shelter which will bring about fearlessness of my in my life. And this is according to Srila Gaswami, first and the most common reason. When once through the experience of the miseries of life, which are connected with our independent will and independent desire, or desire to realize our independence in this world, bring countless problems, countless perplexities, and, you know, think about the complete mess in our life. So one can surrender because of this, getting some intelligence through the school of hard knocks. And so Jiva Goswami says that there is another way of surrendering oneself to the Lord. When one is intelligent enough from the very beginning, and it's a rare case, in Kali Yuga, it's non-existent. But he says, theoretically it's possible that a person, without going through this painful and very miserable experience in life, surrenders unto the Lord with the first, you know, when there are some problems are there, little problems are there, or even no problems are there, but he understands that I still have a problem. And my problem is aversion to the Lord. Because I turned away myself from the Lord, because I'm not with the Lord in heart. I am not unified with him in my will. My will is independent, and I'm maintaining my independence by this intelligent understanding that this is what I should do. One can surrender to the Lord without going through this painful and miserable experience of fear and all the problems in life. So this is the first explanation which Srila Goswami gives. And then he explains, as usually, that again, there are two, by taking from here, he explains that, again, there could be two ways of surrender. This realization that we have to come to the Lord for shelter. Ananya Gati. Understanding that He is the only one who can solve all my problems. He is the only one by whom I can get the complete relief from all the problems of life. Again, can come in two different ways to one's life. He says the first way, it's the first way of getting this understanding that it's only the Lord is when you are chased or overwhelmed by the fear of material existence, and this fear is your impetus to surrender to the Lord. It's a very important point for us to understand that in this world everyone is completely overwhelmed by the fear of death. Patanjali Muni in his Yoga Sutra says that the fear of death, it's interesting, he explains the five kleshas, pancha kleshas, or five causes of suffering in this world. And he gives the definition of each klesha, starting with ignorance, avidya. The first klesha is avidya, and then the second klesha is asmita, or misidentification with the body, false ego, and then rabi and klesha. And he gives the definition. When it comes to the fifth klesha, which is abhinivesh, and abhinivesh basically means the fear of death, he doesn't give any definition because there's nothing to define. And he says, instead of giving the definition of this abhinivesh, of this mental or emotional state, which is the underground, not an underground, the background of our existence, instead of defining it, he just says that everyone is a prey of this, everyone is a victim of this, including the most wise people, even the Munis are afraid of death. So, therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says that the first, the first understanding or first way of surrender is that you are overwhelmed with this fear and you are not afraid of admitting that you are fearful. Usually people, they don't understand how deep this fear of material existence is within our heart. Sometimes even people say, oh, I am not afraid of death. I'm afraid of snakes, I'm afraid of spiders, I'm afraid of my wife, but I'm not afraid of this. No problem, I'm not afraid of this. But this statement is only the manifestation of their fear to see how fearful they are. You know, they're too much afraid to admit themselves how afraid they are. Because this fear of death is all pervading, and that's why Patanjali Muni says that, you know, this fear of death is the first way to understand that the truth is that there's somebody who can save me from this fear of death, and that's God. There's only one who can save me from this fear of death, that's God. Only Him is there to give me this complete freedom of this fear, of this emotional instability which is there. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the cause of this fear is that this cause of fear is this vritiya vinivesha, when we become completely absorbed in this something secondary in the body. When our memory becomes distorted, vipariya asriti, when we lose the memory and our consciousness becomes distorted, when we turn away from the Lord. The moment we turn away from the Lord, the moment we forget about the Lord and start being concerned with the body, with our material existence, the fear comes. And therefore, this fear is the way, it's there. Ultimately, the desire to get rid of this fear is the way to surrender to the Lord. And so, Jiva Goswami, he quotes the following verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains this process of surrender. This is the verse which Devaki, this is the prayer of Devaki, Mother Devaki, towards Krishna, who appeared in the prison of Kamsa. Again, perfect saint, you know, we are there in the prison. And completely anything can happen with us anytime. We are not in control. We try to find some other ways, but ultimately, if we are intelligent enough, we get this understanding that the only one who can protect us from death is Krishna. And Devaki Mata, she says, Matyo Mityu Vyalabhita Palayan. She says that the Matyo, Matyaha, the living entities who are destined to die, you know, the death rate in this world is 100%. It's not 80%, not 90%, it's 100%. Because we're all martyr, we're all mortal. And she says that this martyr, this mortal living entities who are, you know, you can protect yourself from disease, you can try to protect yourself from, you know, old age, from the wrinkles, you know, and try to find so many means to protect yourself from different things. But there's one thing, there is no protection, it's death. Death, you know, there's only one way to protect ourselves from death, and therefore she says, Martyo Mityu Vyala Vita, Mityu Vyala. She says that this death is like snake. Sometimes the time is compared with the snake of time. And she says that all these martyrs, the mortal people who are bhita, they're afraid or fearful of this mrityu vyala, they're palayan. Palayan means they're running away. Everyone being you know, being chased by this fear of death is trying to run from the snake. And the snake is running behind us. And guess what? Sooner or later, it will catch us. No doubt about it. And she says, Lokan Sarvam Nirbhayam Nat Bhyagachat. He says that in different, you know, planets, people do this, but ultimately in different planets, because they want this nirvana, this state of complete freedom of fear, they are trying to take shelter of your lotus feet. Tvat padabjam pratya yadrichhadya. O Arya, you who are the original Lord, the beginning of everything, the source of everything, the cause of everything, the cause of all causes, you know, if the people take shelter of your lotus feet, somehow or other take shelter of your lotus feet, then they completely, they become completely peaceful inside. Sushtatsate mridyu rasmat apayati. You know, and the mridyu flees away. The translation of this, no one in this material world has become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter of your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Basically, Srila Jiva Goswami, and that's the last thing which I will say, he says that the first thing is that complete realization of that there's something wrong in our life by the very fact that we will have to die. There is no need of any other problems in life. We have enough problems of death. And death, if we realize this very deeply, that's enough for us to try to take shelter of the Lord, because He is the only solution for this problem. For other problems of life, there may be some other solutions. But this problem has only one solution. That's to take, unquestionably take shelter of the Lord. You know, I don't want to die. And I don't want. And that means that I have to take shelter of you and stop taking shelter of my body, of my intelligence, of my wealth, of my so many differences. Because this is all false. You know, when we understand this, Prabhupada once gave a very amazing definition of humility. Harivasa Prabhu asked him, can you give the definition of humility? What is humility? What does humility mean? So basically, what does surrender mean? What does it mean? And Prabhupada says, humility means just one thing. You know, if you completely, without any trace of doubt, know that nothing in this world, including your money, your wife, your intelligence, your education, your gun, whatever, your job saves you. If you understand that nothing in this world saves you, then basically means that you surrender, you're humble. This understanding itself constitutes the surrender and humility, and therefore, first Srila Jiva Goswami says that the one way of surrendering is to understand that we already have the problem, and this main problem is the fear of death. And he says that there is a second way of surrendering, is that, and this definition which Srila Prabhupada gave in the forest of Boulogne in France, it's more appropriate to the second way which Srila Jiva Goswami explained. He said that the second way of surrender is that you try to depend on something else. And that's exactly what Krishna is saying here in this particular verse. Because in this world we are trying to take shelter of differences, of different processes of religion, of, you know, different medicines, of our own intelligence, of different things, by trying to take shelter. And, you know, Srila Jiva Goswami said that the second way of realizing that there is only one Anantyagati, that there is only one destination which we have to strive for and to come for, is the Lord. is that we try different things and we realize that different things ultimately don't work. And ultimately, you know, when we out of pride try to protect ourselves by different means. Basically, the second process is like this. You think that you know what is best for me. Please, you know, raise your hand who thinks that he knows what is best for me. Don't think like this. You know, I know better. Right? I know better what I'm supposed to do. I know better how to save myself. I know better. I can figure it out. I was given my control. You know, and therefore, this understanding, which constitutes pride, the pride, this is the definition of pride. I know how to save myself. I know I'm smart enough. Right? I'm intelligent. I had good marks in my school days. So I can figure it out. I know what to do. I know better. This is, and Srila Jiva Goswami says the first one realizes the most important things, that there is no solution for the fear of death. Second, one is trying to solve some other problems by what soul means, without coming close to this powerful fear of death. And therefore tries to take shelter in different other things and means and ways of living life. But ultimately he realizes, no, there is no way, I have to surrender to God. I'm not intelligent enough to live this life. I might be intelligent enough to fool others, but not intelligent enough to solve all the problems of my life. There has to be the sincere impetus of surrendering to the Supreme Lord. And that's how Srila Jiva Goswami starts explaining this process of Sharanagati or surrender. So I guess that's the end of today's class. And I think we still have a couple of minutes of surrendering this class.
Thank you very much, Mark, for your class. I was just thinking how we can take that back, because you're saying that as individuals that we surrender out of fear and frustration and mature energy. So how would you instruct us as a community to become surrendered?
As a community?
Ultimately the same thing, you know, and realize that all our in Moscow, we have many problems. The government is after us, and people are against us, and this and that. But ultimately, we realize that the solution for all our problems is one. There's not many different solutions. There's not many different you know, shelters which we may take in this world. There's only one shelter which is there. So it comes from the realization that, you know, there's the famous example of community realizing this fact was 5,000 years ago when Indra became angry at the community of devotees in Vrindavan. So at this very moment, they realize there's no other shelter. We have to run to Krishna. You know, there's no other shelter from the sufferings, you know, this thunderbolt and lightning and hailstorm and rain and everything. So they run to Krishna. So basically, and that's what it is. When nobody was trying in Vrindavan, nobody was trying to, you know, put some, you know, shelter from the wood or something like this. You know, they said there's only one, somebody one who can solve all these problems for us. So if we as a community
of devotees understand that the solution for all problems, for all our problems, is one. It's Krishna and complete surrender unto Him. You know, you do whatever you like with us, surrendered souls. You take whatever you give us, this grateful heart.
From the highest realms of science, want to demonstrate that we are already surrendered.
We are already surrendered, but there's still an illusion that we are not surrendered. It's true that we are surrendered because we are totally, completely helpless. Inside us, we have the pride. I will prove, I will show, I will figure it out. And the science is actually, you know, it may prove something about the world, but the very concept of science is that we don't need to prove. We will figure it out ourselves. We will find the ways and we will find the solutions for our problems. So ultimately, yes, the real science, and that's what also Prabhupada said, that the real science culminates in the descriptions of the glory of the world. The real science is basically the attempt to understand the depth and the magnitude of the glory of the world. How wonderful it is, everything in the creation. And if the real science comes to the real conclusion of the real science, of the true science, definitely there will be complete full understanding that we have to surrender, there's no other way. But the science as such, as it functioning in our society, is the attempt to prove that we don't need God. We will do something on our own.
Well, I think that it depends on how science is defined. I mean, if it is defined in the Russian sense, for example, nauka, which is actually accepted by our own society, yes, then things fall into place. There is actually, for example, you can take the total interchangeability between energy and matter. If you do that, then you find that actually there is no distinction, no substantial distinction between Bhagavatam and also Vedanta Sutra.
No, I understand, but at the same time, what I'm explaining is that in sociological terms, I agree with you completely that if we are, and I said this, that's what Prabhupada also said, that if we understand the real essence of science, yes, there is no difference, there is no contradiction. But in reality, in the sociological reality of today's world, and the society is such, the science is not functioning this way. The phenomenon of science is different. It's basically the people are trying to use science. It's useless ultimately, but they're still trying to use the science as the means of, you know, of their ultimate protection. Even though everyone knows that this is a futile attempt. That's what it is. But ultimately I agree with you. Ultimately, if you go deeper in the science, you will understand that there's we understand a lot of things. It's not how to call it. And first and foremost, you will understand that science is a futile in regard to solving our immediate problems. Really.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for a wonderful this question about science brings me on to the question that I was going to raise. Is faith, we're talking about faith and surrender, the interrelationship.
Yes.
And then this knowledge about desire. I'm trying to find out the interrelationships between faith and surrender, then desire, knowledge, and intelligence. And you touched upon knowledge and intelligence as well. But I'm just trying to get a better correlation between all of these.
As far as the faith and surrender, it's very simple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shraddha Sharanapati Lakshana. He says, Shraddha, faith has the most important characteristic lakshana, the svarup lakshana of faith is sharanagati, or sharanagati, surrender. So that's basically synonymous, because the, you know, the manifestation of faith is in this surrender. That's the symptom of faith. The symptom that you have faith is that you surrender. Surrender to God. As far as the interrelationship between the desire, knowledge, and what?
Intelligence.
Desire, knowledge, and intelligence. Basically, and that's explained in Nyaya. In Nyaya literature, it is explained that the desire is based upon knowledge. You cannot desire anything about which you don't know. So the first is knowledge. Some knowledge of something comes to you. Then it creates the desire. And when the desire is there, the intelligence is being turned on, and that explains to you how to achieve what you desire. So that's the interrelationship between these three things.
I like desire and faith, then.
Desire and faith? Well, you know, if you're intelligent enough to understand that there is God, and if this knowledge brings about the desire in your heart to surrender to God, or to come closer to God, then, you know, it's surrender of faith. Okay, I guess that's it. Tomorrow we can continue. Oh, take a moment of you. Sorry.
That verse you quoted, the other how I am.
Yes. Yadrichavayam, that's the 27th verse of the 3rd canto of the 10th, of the 3rd chapter of the 10th canto. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai. Skolnes Patrigyan Goswami Maharaj ki. Jai.